for that tent. It won't be very long. Amen. We were singing like we mean it. And I believe we do. We are glad that God has watched over us, blessed us with health and strength, and given us the presence of mind to come together this morning to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Living on planet Earth, and none of us are getting in a hurry to leave. But we are getting in a hurry to prepare ourselves for the leaving. We are glad that God has brought us together this morning that we might study His holy divine word. And I trust that last week was a good week. And if you heard me say that, it was a good week. Amen. You might get that a little while later. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're delighted to have those of you who may be visiting with us at the Church of Christ. This is where we worship. And we call it the Church of Christ because that's what God refers to it. The Bible refers to the fact that Jesus died and purchased His church. His church. And given us information, came down ahead of time. Matter of fact, 33 years ahead of time. Chose 12 apostles to teach and to train for 3 years to carry His message, because He didn't come to stay. And after 3 years, He made His departure. Very challenging. Crucified before He left. And He came for us. But God raised Him up from the dead after 3 days. He told His apostles to go to Jerusalem and wait after 3 years of training them. I'm going to be leaving. You wait in Jerusalem until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit that will guide you into all truth and bring everything that I've taught you to your remembrance. At the time that He said this to these men, there were only 11, because one had betrayed Him by the name of Judas. And we read about Jesus' departure in Acts chapter 1. The apostles actually saw Him. It must have been quite an event to witness, to see an individual going up in the air and know nothing else to help him that you can see. And they stood looking as He disappeared. They waited, I believe, about 7 days in Jerusalem, because Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem. 7 days. Wait in Jerusalem till you're baptized with the Holy Spirit from on high. And Acts chapter 1, the latter part of it, it lets us know that the 12 apostles were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And there are some things we know that Jesus wanted them to wait, because the Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance everything that He had taught them. Because the Bible wasn't written at that time. And when we read the last verse of chapter 1, Jesus was made true. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with different languages. And that was needful, because it came at a time when there was celebration going on in Jerusalem, and people from all the then known world, Jews, were celebrating in Jerusalem. And they began to speak in different languages, because they were baptized with the Holy Spirit and they could speak all the languages. That motley crowd heard these men heard the gospel for the very first time on planet Earth. All 12 of them, they were excited, and all 12 were speaking because they chose another to replace Judas. And about verse 15, I think I've said with you, I share with us quite often when I get up to preach. Peter had been promised by God to have the privilege of preaching in full the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ for the first time on planet Earth. And he became the chief spokesman. And he preached and said something in verse 37 that pricked the hearts of many present, saying that same Jesus that you crucified, he's gone to glory. And this message comes from him. He's both alive and well. That crowd was so shocked, they interrupted Peter in his sermon. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Don't forget what I've shared with you. The first time the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is preached on planet Earth is in Acts chapter 2. But they started at the last verse of Acts chapter 1. But when Peter told them that same Jesus you're crucified is alive and well. Peter, what shall we do? Peter never says, say a prayer. We don't read about any Christian, any person that became a Christian. Became a Christian because he prayed or she prayed a prayer. Prayer is a privilege that God gives to those who are already his children, not the ones who want to be his children. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority or in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness or the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about now. About 3,000 people didn't say, I got to go home first. I got to go check with somebody else. Approximately 3,000 people heard, believed, received the gospel, and they were buried in water baptism that day. That's a lot of baptizing. But oh, what joy. Oh, what joy. I know that had to be a hallelujah time. Let me ask you a question. You say, when are you going to start preaching? What do you think I'm doing? Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you made your preparations with God? And if you are saved, let me rephrase that. If you do believe that you are saved, what church were you added to? Are you a member of the Church of Christ? They asked Peter that same question, as I just shared with you, that he was preaching in Acts chapter 2. He was interrupted in his message when they realized that they had killed the Savior that they and their parents had been looking for. What shall we do? There is no preacher guided by the Holy Spirit, that's the apostles, ever told anyone who wanted to become a Christian to pray. That's not a privilege that God gives unbelievers. That's a privilege that God gives his children, the privilege of prayer. What shall we do? Now, you already know that all I've given you is what you don't do. Well, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to stay awake and listen to this sermon. Praise God. But it won't take me long. I only have what I have. Did you get that? I only have what I have. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread and pray to preach unto them and that motley crowd. The subject this morning: are you doing the will of God? Are you doing the will of God? In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, Jesus says, "Why call me Lord and do not the things which I say?" The universe is mine, and this universe is very, very unique. None other like it. The sun supports all life on earth. Age, according to some scientists, is 45 billion years old, the sun, according to some scientists. The composition, mostly hydrogen and helium. The surface of the sun is 2,347,002,347,000,000,000 miles from us. It's just amazing. Now, no human being, to my knowledge and to your knowledge, has ever gone to the sun. And no one, as long as God keeps it the way he has it, will never go to the sun and come back. 2,347,000,000 miles. And it shines bright every day. There are other planets in the sky put there by our God. Closest to the sun is 36 million miles. It orbits the sun in 88 days. The surface temperature, in this case, it's 279 degrees, 801. Venus, second closest to the sun, 67,237,910 miles, also called the morning and the evening star. This is the God. This is the God. Well, what about us? Us who? What about where we live? The earth, the third planet from the sun. Earth is the only planet known to have life living on it. Average distance from the sun, 92,955,820 miles. Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, now referred to as a draft planet. And on Earth, there is all manner of life, all manner of minerals, all manner of vegetables, all kind of animals on the life. Preacher, why are you talking about this? How did all this come about? All of this is beyond man's comprehension, let alone man doing. God is behind all this and even more. Since the universe exhibits design, guess what? There must be a great designer. Since it shows thought, there must be a great thinker. Since it is run by laws of nature, there must be a great lawgiver. Since it operates with mathematical precision, there must be a great mathematician. Since the universe gives us chemical combinations, guess what? There must be a great chemist. Thomas Edison, some of you have heard of him, you've been on Earth long enough, said the universe is such an engineering feat, there must be, there has to be a great engineer. From these conclusions, there is no escape. God does exist. And since he exists, and it has been proven that this is his Bible, wisdom says, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Oh, church, God does exist. That is an irrefutable truth. And it behooves each of us, as high as heaven and as deep as hell, to seek what God has to say to the people living on planet Earth. Don't go by what you feel. He has blessed us with this holy book called the Bible. Study for yourself. Even study behind all preachers, including this one as well. Why? Because wherever this God wants me to be, that's where I want to be. You see, because he has given us life. God has given us life everlasting. You say, well, I go to funerals. I've been to funerals a lot of times. That's because God, who gave that person life and then gave him a body to be born in, took his life out of that body. Think about it. Think about it. We just talked about the first century. But you see, God didn't, he didn't get us. He didn't get us during that creative week until the last day of his heavenly work. And where did he get that from? Well, the Bible. The book tells the Bible, and so many people don't read the Bible. And they go here, there, and yon, and find out, and sometimes they wind up supporting churches that they can't read about in the Bible. And we are given strict information in the book of Revelation that the book of God is going to be open at the judgment, and God also keeps, same chapter, tells us about God keeping a record on each and every human being. And our record, he keeps it. And he will have it at the judgment. And we're going to be judged out of those things which are written in the books according to the will of God. Getting angry because someone shares with you what God has said in his Bible, it doesn't change your position. That should be, if they're giving you what the Bible says, that should be shouting hallelujah time. I'm glad I heard before I left planet Earth and faced God at the judgment. The Bible, written over a period of 1,600 years by 40 different men from all walks of life, guided by God. Moses wrote in 1500 B.C. in the first chapter of Genesis. Moses used the first 10 verses telling about the mineral, the material, and the kingdom of our God. The next 9 verses of Moses's telling about the vegetable kingdom, and the rest of the chapter telling about the animal kingdom and about humans. In our Bible, in the book of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created most of the things." No, the Bible doesn't say that. "Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure." They were and are created. Did you get that? We have been created for God's pleasure. And if we don't give, if we don't pleasure the Lord by studying His Word and knows what pleasures Him, how in the name of high heaven do you think that you're going to be able to live the way you want to live in eternity? We're not going to cease to exist, but cease, and the time will come when those who disobeyed God will cease having a relationship and an opportunity to obey God. Now, while we live on planet Earth, we have that opportunity. Where are you this morning? Are you a child of God, according to what you can read about in the Bible? Oh, church, thou hast been created, God has created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us," hath made us meet, or M-E-E-T, or suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. "Who hath delivered us," watch this, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and have done what? Translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His Son's blood," God's Son, Jesus Christ, "even the forgiveness of sins by Jesus Christ." Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Oh, church, please read your Bible, study your Bible, obey your Bible. Verse 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, everywhere, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Did you miss that? Everything He created was created by Him and for Him. He gets joy out of us being blessed with what He created. Oh, church. For again, verse 16, for by Him were all things created, which are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He gets joy out of us living the way He has designed us to live. Isn't that wonderful? Verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, or mean all things are held together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, He might have the preeminence, that is, He be first. He be first. Jesus when He came to earth, born as a babe, at the age of 30 He became an itinerant preacher. He chose 12 men to teach and to train, because He didn't come to stay. The apostles were guided by the teachings of Jesus. And when Jesus got ready to leave, He told His apostles, "You wait until My Father sends you the Holy Spirit that will guide you in all things and bring to your remembrance everything that I've taught you." I don't want you making up nothing. I don't want you making the decisions on it. What I said, that's what you teach. So wait until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, as we said heretofore, that will guide you into all things. Three specific scenes in the Bible to give us some reality of why we as creatures created in the image of God should be ardent students of the Bible and committed members of the Church of Christ. Now, if you can't read about it in the Bible, why are you supporting something that you can't read about in the Bible and at the same time saying, "I believe the Bible"? In Luke 23, Jesus, 5 hours before His death, He was falsely accused, sentenced to death by hanging on a cross. Two other men was tried and found guilty at the same trial. They were found guilty also at the same trial of Jesus. Method of crucifixion was being hanged on a cross. Three of them, two crooks and Jesus. Jesus' cross was put in the middle, and then there was a thief crucified on either side of Jesus, trying to make Him doubly guilty of something. And as they hung on that cross, Jesus Christ's church, as I said before, in the middle, the man on His left asked Jesus, "Remember Me when you come into your kingdom." Dying, all three of them, Jesus responded. He says, "Today, you." Now, watch this. Three of them being crucified, Jesus in the middle, and two thieves, one on His left, one on His right. But only one of the thieves spoke to Jesus and asked Him to save them. Jesus said to that thief, He says, "Today you shall be with Me in paradise." Luke 23, chapter 23 and verse 43 through 47. You might want to read that. The rich man and Lazarus. Luke 16, 19 through 31. Heaven And the only other place to go in eternity is hell. Final judgment. It is once appointed unto man to die. After dying, it wouldn't be so challenging if you haven't lived right, because it would be all over. But that's not the case. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, the Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open." We're wrapping it up. Don't get worried. We're wrapping it up. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Talking about the final roundup. "And the books were open." God keeps a book on everybody. You go to sleep this morning, He keeps a book on that. Just thought I'd share that with you. And there's another book. God has our books, and He has His book, the book of life. "The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." So there's no misrepresentation at the final roundup of human affairs. "Well, I didn't do it." Yes, you did. You did it on this day, at this time. And who else was with you? 1 Timothy chapter 2, commencing with verse 3. "For this is good, and for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who is our Savior, who will have all men to be saved." That's why He sent His Son. "And to come into the knowledge of the truth, that you might hear it, believe it, receive it, and obey it." My question is, do you have the knowledge of Jesus' truth? Do you have the knowledge of Jesus' truth? Three questions. Simple questions. Should be. Number one, are you saved? Are you saved? Prepared for an eternity with God. Are you saved? Number two, you answered yes. What did you do? What did you do for God to save you? For God to save you. Last question. Who do you know? Who or whom do you know of, or that you read about, that God saved that way? Is that the way God saves people? The way you say you were saved? Make your calling and election sure. The people that God saved in the New Testament and in His Bible, they will save the same way. All the people that's in this congregation, they will save the same way that the people were saved on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Because they were taught the same thing. One way to become added to the body of Christ. And prayer has nothing to do with it. For the one that wants to be a Christian. Because the Bible strictly says, God don't hear a sinner's prayer. So what benefit is it to you to pray? We know that God heareth not sinners' prayer, but he that doeth the will of God. Those are the people that God hear his prayer. You don't know when you're going to leave this world, and I don't know when I'm going to leave this world. But I want it on my record that I preach what we could read in the Bible. You should want on your record you obey what you read in the Bible to be saved. And if you can't do that, and what church Jesus added them to, make your calling and election sure. I want to go to heaven when I leave this place. That other place is already too hot. It just gets hot thinking about it. Make your calling and election sure. Now don't get upset with me. I've read to you what in the Bible. You start with your getting upsetness. Argue with him, not with me. I'm your friend. That's why I'm telling you what I can read in his Bible. And he's going to be the judge at the judgment. And he keeps his records on every human being that has ever lived. Make your calling and election sure. You've heard the gospel. Do you believe it? Are you godly sorrowful for the life you've lived heretofore? Are you willing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Are you willing to be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of all of your sins? God will add you to his family, forgive you of all of your past sins. And if you live according to the life that he wants you to live, according to his book, the Bible, heaven is going to be your home. The garments are ready. The water is ready. The baptizer is ready. The only question mark, are you ready to do what God says in his Bible? And then go forth living that life and helping some other wayfaring soul to know the truth that you now know. May God bless you to make a God-honoring decision today, because tomorrow is not promised to you, as we together stand and sing the song that has been selected.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless and white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
It is once appointed unto man to die, and after this, the judgment. And Revelation chapter 20 gives us some information on what it's going to be like. It infers that all the books on every person that has ever lived will be open at the judgment. And God's book open at the judgment. I don't keep the book on you, and you don't keep the book on me, I don't think. God keeps a book on everyone, every human. And Revelation 20 tells us that he's going to have everybody's book, and he's going to have his book open at the judgment. And we're going to be judged out of those things which are written in the books, our book, and compare it with his book. Why are you mentioning that? It's something that you can do for yourself, so you can know what's it going to be like at the final roundup of affairs of human beings on planet Earth. Make your calling and election sure. Don't get angry. Get right with God. Brothers.